and welcome to the Body Brain Belief Podcast. It's lovely to have you here.
Please continue.
I have nothing else to say. That's me.
I was like interested to see where that was going.
On today's episode, General Waffle, followed by How to Improve Your Relationship with Food, Part 2, followed by On the Spot.
General Waffle.
I just think we need to be a bit more formal, Jen.
General Waffle.
Yeah.
All I could picture was like...
Actual waffles.
No, like a sergeant with a waffle on his head.
What's your favourite waffle?
A sergeant isn't the same as a general, is it?
No,
like a man. In the some kind of...
Can you not be a woman?
Where you're a general. Can you be a... Yeah, I suppose you can.
I don't know what the wording is. I don't know if it changes depending on gender.
No, I don't. I have absolutely no idea what a general is and what profession you are a general within.
I would imagine if you're a general, you do a bit of everything. Surely. And if you don't, you should do.
That's good. I want to know what a general is now. My intrigue has taken over. Someone, as usual, will probably be general. I do general profession.
What would I do if I was a general?
But it's general... On. What is a general profession?
The type of job we just
do. No, that's not right.
That's what it says.
How did you Google general? General.
Job role.
Title. Title rank of a senior army officer.
There we go.
Usually one who commands units of larger than a regiment or its equivalent. Oh, wow.
He usually does general things.
General.
Sweeping up, mopping.
Yeah. Right, general. There we go.
Anyway.
Glad we all knew that now. Knew that now.
Covered that one. What was I saying? Where was we up to? I'm a bit
sorry,
lost.
Sorry, General Waffle.
Oh, yeah.
This is the General Waffle.
What's your favourite waffle topping?
Anything Kinder. I mean, if we're talking any sweet stuff, it's always Kinder, Ferrero Rocher. Something hazelnut based, basically. That's where I'm at. Anything chocolatey and hazelnut.
No vanilla.
If you want to put some ice cream on there, then
would
yeah.
Would you put mint choc chip on there?
Ew, no. Oh. That's all wrong.
But eating mint choc chip's all wrong, irrelevant of what it's
on. No, I love a mint choc chip ice cream.
I know, but you're incorrect as to...
Phil thinks anything flavoured with mint is like eating toothpaste.
It just tastes like... It tastes no different from toothpaste.
Lies.
Do you remember
riddle me this.
And you just spit it out.
Do you know what? Did we talk about that on the podcast?
Yeah, Jen didn't brush her teeth for 9 months.
I did brush my teeth. I just gagged every time I did it. To find a more neutral toothpaste. The amount of money I wasted on toothpaste just trying to find a toothpaste I could deal with in my mouth was just ridiculous.
So irrationally angry as well. Like I was just like, just brush your teeth, you're doing me.
No, I was carrying your two children.
This is the thing, like, it's so irrational. It's just like, you don't have any tired, you go to bed, oh, brush our teeth, and you're going,
and I don't like strawberry either, so I couldn't handle the baby ones that are like strawberry flavoured.
Hold your nose so you've got no flavour going into
your mouth. No, it's awful. I did try that, it didn't work.
You didn't do it properly then.
Do you know what, as well? So certain things now really trigger me to feel sick. So, certain toothpaste flavours. Certain toothpaste flavours now that remind me of the one that I had to use while I was pregnant can make me gag.
Yeah.
The shampoo that I use, because I started using it when we went on our honeymoon, when I was morning sick. The smell of my shampoo now makes me gag, which is terrible because I really like my shampoo. And if I just generally feel sick, it just makes me think about morning sickness, and then I feel like it's never going to go away.
But it does.
Because that's what I felt like when I have morning sickness. Gosh, it's really hard. I mean, morning... How people do the
life.
I can't remember what it's called, hyper thing where you're sick all the time.
Oh.
Honestly, hats off to anyone who's managed to survive a pregnancy with that. Like, my mum had that with me. What?
You've not got a hat on.
Right, I'll put one on and I'll take it off.
There you go. Yeah, put that on.
There we go. Put the hat on.
Yep.
There it is. On. That smells like sweat. You should wash that.
All right.
Take it off.
Hats off to...
Hats off to anyone who's put up with a hyper... It's a big long word that I can't remember.
Hyperallergenic?
No.
Oh. Hyper...
Just realised your mum said she thought she was allergic to the dog the other day, but he's hyperallergenic.
Oh, yeah. You can't be allergic to him. There are times I think I'm allergic to it. It's nothing to do with this fur, it's just annoying.
I don't actually know if you can still be allergic to a hypoallergenic dog, but I feel like that's the point of them.
He's
No, they weren't bred for that, but
he's asleep behind us.
Ah, he looks cute. We let him run around the garden, didn't we? Because he was barking through the previous podcast.
Yeah, hopefully he'll stay quiet as we talk about how to improve your relationship with food.
Winning.
Segue. Is that what it's called? I always forget.
Phil, we talk about it so many times. How can you possibly forget?
Because I always
literally
think of
segue. I can't hear. I would say segues and word definitions are the things that we talk about most on the podcast, and that's quite ridiculous considering we don't do a podcast about either
of those
things
that you stand on and move.
Segue.
Oh, so that's a segue as well. See, this is why the English language is so confusing. They're
both
segue.
We're not going into words again.
Like, oh, I'm going to get on a segue, and you're like, "All right, where are you going?" You're like,
segues,
oh, no, losing
all
I'm not going anywhere. I just mean like I'm going to start using some segues in my life.
No, that's not anything that anyone would ever say, Phil.
It depends where you are in the
terrible
world.
Terrible point.
Because if you are somewhere where segues are popular,
no.
Which segue do I mean though?
Segue.
Oh.
Segue. Segue.
It depends which segue you say.
Right. Let's do the segue to the segue to the next bit.
Quick recap on last week.
What? Oh no.
That's what we're starting with.
I know, but it just sounded funny then after all
that. All right. Last week we did part one, hence why this is called part two. We were talking about your relationship with food, and we didn't want to do an episode on how to improve it before telling you what an actual relationship with food was.
And we realised that we'll never, ever do that ever again because it was dead hard.
For you, it was impossible, wasn't it?
I just kept talking about the solution.
Basically, two things. If you haven't listened to last week's yet, I'd go and listen to it because this week's will make more sense. Second thing, Jen was terrible at last week's episode because all we was talking about was all the different challenges you might have with your relationship with food. And every challenge she spoke about, she then started speaking about the solution, which was this episode. Ridiculous.
It just doesn't work for me.
It didn't work for you at all, did it? Anyway, recap. Why is it important to improve your relationship with food? And it is because if you're on a weight loss journey, you might actually not be, but, well, actually the first thing, I don't think we said it last week, but everybody deserves to have a really healthy relationship with food. Like, everyone deserves to be able to eat without guilt and to enjoy food and to not cut things out and to basically be able to eat food without feeling like you have to do something first. Like, we all deserve that, every single one of us. So weight loss aside, having a healthy relationship with food is going to improve your life, your happiness and your fulfillment and your mental health anyway, as well as your social life, your emotional life, everything. So having a healthy relationship with food is really, really important. However, we know that a lot of people are also on a weight loss journey, and it is related to that too. Reason being is, if you're trying to lose weight, and the way in which you're losing weight either, A, doesn't improve your relationship with food first, or B, it ends up giving you an unhealthy relationship with food. So I think you're very strict, kind of like 8-week transformation type things. That type of thing will give you an unhealthy relationship with food. So if it doesn't improve your relationship with food, or it gives you a bad one, you won't keep the weight off. Reason being is, the way in which you've had to lose weight is a short-term method, and therefore, when you stop doing what it is you're doing, whether it be 8 weeks, 6 months, a year, the timeline doesn't actually matter. It just so happens that the shorter it is, the more likely it is. But you could do a 12-month weight loss program. If it doesn't improve your relationship with food, or if it gives you a worse one, you'll still, in the end, put the weight back on. And I'm going to highlight that because I know a lot of people go to certain slimming clubs and they're like, oh, it's a lifestyle change because I'm doing it slowly. The pace doesn't make it a lifestyle change. The things you are doing makes it a lifestyle change. If you're just counting points in calories or whatever way you're doing things, if that's the way in which you're trying to lose weight, it's not going to improve your relationship with food. So if you take 3 years to lose a stone, that stone will come back on if your relationship with food isn't improved. It doesn't matter that it took 3 years. The timing doesn't matter. If you did it in 8 weeks, it would still come back on if it doesn't improve your relationship with food. You might now be wondering, well, if I did an 8-week transformation program that improved my relationship with food, would I then keep the weight off? Well, there's no answer to that question because there's no 8-week transformation program that can improve your relationship with food because it takes longer than that. Unpicking and unpacking years and years and years and years of diets and yo-yo dieting and cycles that you've been through isn't going to take 8 weeks. I'd be thinking more 6 to 12 months.
Boom, preach.
See you next week.
You really got into that one then, didn't you?
About your bit, because I've been on a rant, I'm tired.
You really did? I was like, whoa, is he going to slow down here?
Nope.
Or
nope.
Are we going to take everyone down individually?
Yeah, I've just gone in. That's how I felt today. Don't hear I'm angry because I'm going on a run in an hour. Don't want to go, so I'm just getting all my anger out and I can go on a run.
Stop being stroppy.
I'm lying, I do want to go on a run. But Anyway.
Feels better when he's been on a run. He might come back and do this podcast in a very different headspace.
If you're listening to this on 2x speed, go back, because it probably needs slowing down a little bit. And it sounded like a little mouse just screaming my way through, then rapid.
So, back to last week. First one was giving yourself rules around food and not being able to eat specific foods. I'm scared that if anyone's listening to these episodes back to back, that I'm just going to end up repeating myself, because I've had a week in between this. I can't remember what I said about the stuff last
Jen,
week.
Jen, I think we're on episode 160. We have repeated ourselves so many times, it's ridiculous.
Fair point. But like, soz if you listen to these back to back and I just say the same thing, because I can't remember what I said last week, because I've slept a few times since then.
Oh, yeah.
Not solidly. Once, slept solidly once. So, rules about not being able to eat specific foods. Or even like how much of stuff, like again last week. So break those rules down. Let's think about first, where did that rule come from? It might be that it came from a specific slimming club that you did. It might be that you've always had that rule, like that's a rule that you grew up with in your family. It might be a rule that you created for yourself to try and restrict in some way. Really kind of unpick where that came from, because having an understanding of where it came from can help us to challenge it. And a lot of the time when I start challenging these rules with the clients that I'm working with, it tends to be that there's a lot of confusion around things, because one diet has told them one thing and one diet has told them another thing, and then they've ended up with this mismatch of rules and they're just in a big bit of a pickle about that. So being able to kind of understand them and then get some facts around that, I'm more than happy to unpick any rules that you've got and give you the actual facts. If you're not really sure when you identify what they are, whether there's any truth in things or not, that can be really helpful. And then really starting to think about, is that rule actually helping you or is it hindering you? Because if, for example, you break that rule and then you start beating yourself up and you are feeling a lot of guilt around it, it's probably going to fall into the hindering category. I would say that it might feel like a rule is helping you, but realistically, if it's something that you can keep up for her for forever, I would say that's more of a habit than a rule. I would say rules tend to trigger those feelings of guilt or negative self-talk when we break them, and also they make us want to break them. It's like we always say the push the button, like don't push this button, makes you want to push the button. It's that theory.
Don't touch this hot surface.
Yeah, hands, you want to touch paint. It. Yeah, all of these.
Wonder if I've got any more.
I think wet paint's the worst one for me.
No, hot surfaces in the chipper.
Do you see your mum keeps ringing you?
No, I never said any of those words.
What did you say?
I think that's a hot surface in the chipper.
I was like, oh, she's out with the baby. She thinks she's all right.
Yeah, she's probably absolutely fine because she's not ringing me. I don't understand why you've just said that.
I thought you said, oh, Pat keeps ringing me.
Wow. Can't wait to listen to this back and work out what that sounds like, because I'm pretty sure I just said hot surface in the chipper. It doesn't sound like Pat keeps ringing me.
Hot surface in the chippy, Pat keeps ringing me. I could see
that. Sounds like you're writing a song. Hot surface in the chippy, Pat keeps ringing me.
Don't think that one's going to sound.
Are you into rap?
No. Loosely. Depends what it is. Selective.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Anyway, back to rules. What would your life look like without that rule? So how would it impact you? Would you find things easier? Would you find things more difficult? What would happen if you were to take that rule away? And then, have you given life without that rule long enough to take effect? So by this, what we mean is, don't try to get rid of the rule and then be like, oh my goodness, I'm eating everything in the entire world now because I've got rid of that rule. That might happen initially, but give it a little bit longer and you'll probably see some shifts around that. So
you will see.
Well, yes, no, exactly. You will. You will. I actually found myself doing it the other week, didn't I?
Yeah.
I realised that I always used to talk about my Freddo in the evening, didn't I? And I'd realised I'd kind of shifted it to become a rule of like, I should only eat chocolate in the evening because that's when I enjoy it most. And then I started beating myself up if I wanted chocolate, like if I had chocolate earlier in the day. And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing that? I was like, it was when I unpicked it was because, yeah, I would say 90% of the time I do enjoy my chocolate more in the evening when I've got time to really sit down and enjoy it without any distractions and really take it in. But sometimes I do just want it earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I was beating myself up for it because it had almost become a rule.
Yeah.
And rather than helping me, I was starting to like beat myself up if I had chocolate at any other point in the day, because I was like, no, I won't enjoy it now. And then I didn't enjoy it because I was feeling bad about it. So we challenged that and we let go of that one very quickly. And then I intentionally started eating some chocolate in the day.
You did? Full stop, hate it when you do that. Your go, Phil.
Your go. Shall I tag you in next time?
Yeah.
Tag.
I'll be honest, the second one's very similar to the first one, because the first one often leads to the second one. And if you listened last week, you'll know that if you are feeling guilty for eating certain foods, there's a 99.99% chance that it's because you've got a rule against eating that food. Because guilt is obviously when we do something we shouldn't have. And the only reason you will feel you shouldn't have eaten a food is because you've got a rule against eating it. So for example, kind of using what Jen just said then, if you tell yourself you're not allowed to eat chocolate and you eat it, you'll feel guilty because you said you wasn't allowed to and you have done. The way in which we get around this is very similar to what Jen said. One thing you can do though is first of all question what you're gaining from not allowing yourself in the food plate. Should we start again? What are you gaining from not allowing yourself that food in the first place? And it's really, 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 really important that you don't think about the perceived gain. So you don't think, what would I gain if I just never ate chocolate again? Think about what the actual gain has been so far. So if you look at your past history of cutting out chocolate, and every single time you've done it, you've gone a period of time not eating it, then binged on it, at what point have you gained? So don't think, and this is what the mistake that a lot of people make is that, well, again, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yes, I know, but you are alive longer than 72 hours. Like, don't look at the bit where it, quote unquote, worked. Look at the whole picture. Zoom out, gain some helicopter vision, as Jen says. Get in a helicopter, zoom out, look down. Think about what has cutting out that chocolate done for you. And if you look at the whole cycle of it, it will be you wanted to change your body, so you cut out chocolate, you then binged on it, you felt guilty, and you binged again. That's the whole cycle. Don't just look at the bit where you cut it out and was successful for 3 days, because that isn't the gain. That's just a very small segment of it, which is why when people say, yeah, but if I could just keep doing that, yeah, but nobody can just keep doing that. There is nobody who does that. That's not a thing that happens. And I appreciate and understand that you might look at this situation and go, yeah, but if I could do those 3 days for like the rest of my life, well, number one, you'd be unhappy because you enjoy chocolate, probably, like most of us. Mm. And number two, you can't do that. That isn't something that's going to be achieved, and that's fine. So it's about, first of all, just being open and honest with yourself and say, do you know what? I'm not actually gaining from this. Cutting it out, I'm not gaining from. Yes, my perceived gain was that I would lose weight. My actual gain is zero. From there, you can then move on to the next step, which is to ask yourself how you would feel. And again, you need to do this in a specific way. How you would feel if you had permission to eat anything. So don't think, how do you feel about the idea of doing it? Because a lot of people will answer that with, oh, it scares me because I think I'll binge. Don't think about your perception of what that would look like. Think about how life would be if you didn't feel anxious and stressed and worried about having permission to eat anything. So think about waking up and not being worried about the fact that your breakfast has chocolate on it. Think about going for your lunch and not being worried that it wasn't soup or a sandwich. Think about getting home and knowing you was allowed carbs in your tea, but without worry. Like, think about what life would be like. Think about how much happier you would be. Think about how much more fulfilled you'd be. Think about what you wouldn't miss out on. All these things aren't going to necessarily make you change overnight, but by giving yourself the opportunity to actually think about it, it's going to allow you to start to take the next step forward. And the next step forward is asking yourself how you can include whatever that food is, or foods, into your day every single day until it loses what we call its shininess. So right now, there'll be certain foods that you find are like really shiny. You love them. They're amazing. They're fantastic. But when you eat them, you binge on them. It's because you don't eat them often enough. You only eat them in one big amount. If you had them every single day, you would get to a point where it's lost its shininess and you stop binging on it. So take a second and have a think about what are those foods. And I'll give you an example. Let's say it's chocolate. Have a think about what chocolate can you eat every single day. And I know that can be so difficult, challenging, anxiety-driven for a lot of people to hear that, because oh my God, I can't have it every day. But if at the weekend you're having a week's worth anyway, you're actually not going to increase your calories throughout the week. What happens is, and Jen touched on this before, the first thing that will happen is you'll probably feel like you're eating more of it straight away, and that will be worrying, and that makes total sense. Then what will happen is it will lose its shininess a little bit, and you'll only eat it when you want it, and you'll actually enjoy it more, which is mad. Because what we've got to remember is it's not the quantity of food, that drives enjoyment, it's quality. Right now, you might feel like it's quantity. So you might feel like, you know, having a bigger bar of chocolate is what you really enjoy. Once you start to include it more frequently in the week, so every single day, we start to focus more on the quality of it and actually getting the chocolate that we really want and not just eating it because it's chocolate. And then you start to notice different flavors, textures, tastes. You start to notice that there's actually certain bars of chocolate that you was eating, but you don't even really like them that much. It's like, I was just having it because it was there. I'm not really that bothered about that chocolate, so I'm not going to have it. And we hear this a lot. We see this every week on a weekly update by a client or more. They will say something on the lines of, I stopped eating, insert food, because I realized I didn't like it. I actually am not that bothered about it, and I've eaten it loads in the past, but it's the first time I've taken a second to actually think, do I enjoy this? And I've got a quarter or half the way in and gone, I don't actually like this food. Why do I eat it so much? And this is the power of giving yourself permission to eat anything.
Yeah, and just to give you an example of that, I always think about the bagels.
Yeah, oh, such a good story. This is literally the absolute perfect example, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so me and Phil don't really typically have bagels in. We do actually now, mm-hmm. because found M&S do 15 gram protein bagels that are actually really good. A bit yeah, more like some. A muffin, but in a bagel format.
Better untoasted, if you ask me.
No, I disagree. Anyway, side note. So we never used to have bagels in, and Phil decided that he was going to get bagels to eat before he was training, and we bought a pack that was supposed to last Phil an entire week, and between us, did we eat it in like 2 days?
No, about a day. 2 hours.
A day. We so had like 2.5 bagels between
it
us.
It was a pack of 5 bagels. I was going to have one every day before training for 5 days, and we had all 5 that day.
Yeah, and then we just bought another pack.
Which I had to, because I had none for the training day the day after.
And then I think that one took us a little bit longer, a couple of days.
I still had some on the Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, and then we just bought another pack, and then Phil just started having one day.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
You'd have the odd one every now and again.
Yeah, when I fancied it. But that was the perfect example of something that we don't normally have in, so the excitement was, like, driven up. We were like, oh my goodness, let's eat it all now. Let's have more. Oh, that was really good. Let's have another one. But then, because it just became normal and something that we always had in, it just lost its shininess, and it was just like, I can have that bagel whenever I want, because we've always got one in.
That's the key thing. I can have it whenever I want. That's the difference. I think yeah. If you're someone who's like, I can only have it when I've done X, or when I've, you know, or I'm not allowed it at all, like, that's when it becomes this, like, thing that holds so much power over you. Once you go, do you know what? I can literally have that whenever I want it. Straight away, you're like, oh, well, it's not as exciting. Mm. And the thing here, and I always have to say this afterwards, if you get to a point then where you start to not enjoy that food as much, you will enjoy that process more than you realise. You will actually like the fact that that's happening. I think a lot of people worry when we say that. It's like, oh, but I really like it now. I don't want to not like it. Well, that's because right now you feel like you're only allowed it at certain times.
Yeah.
Where actually when you allow yourself it at any time, if you get to a point where you go, why have I been eating that for years? I don't enjoy it that much. Like, I don't like the sound of me not liking bagels, because I think bagels are great. But what I've learned is that even when I have them all the time, yes, my desire for them reduces, but I still want one.
Mm.
So bagel isn't that food. The food that does it for me is chocolate. I'm actually not that bothered by chocolate. But so if there was loads in the cupboard, I'd have some, but I don't think I'd eat it consistently all the time. That's just me. That's not saying that this is how it is for everyone. It's just how that works for me. For someone else, it could be the other way around. But that doesn't mean that I dislike chocolate. It's just my perception or taste of that food. There are certain ones that I like more than others. But with bagels, it's like, I've actually reduced my desire for them, but I still want them. Mm. And that's fine. That's where you want to be.
And I think that's where I shifted when I noticed myself with the rule. Instead of saying, like, I can absolutely have it now if I want, but I probably will, like, when I stop and think about it, I probably will enjoy it later. I was stopping and going, oh, I can't have it now because I'm having it later. And
that's
there's the exact same situation and how my mind... And just a tweak of how I was thinking about that. How I thought about that for a really long time versus suddenly I changed the way I was thinking about it and it brought in so much guilt.
100%.
So, very interesting. Anyway, third one. Only allowing yourself certain foods if you've been good. I shall always, forever and always come back to this. Remind yourself you are not some kind of pet or dog. You do not need to do things in order to gain a reward. Nobody is going to say, yes, good girl, and give you a little treat. You don't need to do that. Like, you can always have food, no matter what you've done. You always deserve food, no matter what that food is. And I need you to know that.
Reggie's there, like, are you serious? This is brilliant. I'm not a dog. I don't need a reward. I can have food whenever I want.
No, you can't have any food other than your kibble.
He's looking up like he's serious.
You're not allowed. Even when the babies start weaning, you're only allowed your kibble. I know it's a sad life. I hate it. Anyway.
Listener, you're not a dog.
You are not a dog. Reggie is a dog, but you are not. Remove, this is one that's so important, remove the good and bad wording, or healthy and unhealthy, or right and wrong, because that is where, I would say, like the rules, it's another version of where we can start our kind of thoughts, feelings, beliefs leading to our emotions, which then lead to our behaviours. That's that cycle there. It starts at that top bit, those thoughts, feelings and beliefs. Our language really plays into that as well. You'll have heard us talk about this one a lot if you're a regular podcast listener, because it is so important. It is so underrated because it feels like such a minimal thing, but actually it is one of the biggest things that can impact your relationship with food, is how you speak about it. And changing how you speak about it and becoming more neutral with food, in terms of not demonising food groups or food types of food, can really help to go a long way to start removing some of that guilt. And as you get more kind of consistent with that language, it won't feel, or we won't feel that same need for that reward, because it's not like I'm having this food because I've been good or done good. It's just like I'm having this food because it's food, and that's what I want right now. And that's I desire this food, and I'm honouring that, and I'm having a bit of it. And I think it does start with that language. And then, like we said before, it comes back again to how you can include those foods every single day and losing that shininess. So that might even be like, we've talked about like chocolate and bagels and whatever it is, but think about the weekend. Like, think about how many foods you've got connected to the weekend. We worked for a long time on this one, didn't we? Because I had a very, very big habit, of weekend foods. I still do to some extent, in the sense that I still feel the need to eat different foods at a weekend. But I think that's being driven by the fact that we have more time to stop and prepare things. So I feel like I want to cook foods that take a bit longer and more of an event now.
I think since having the twins as well, it's made our nights a little bit less flexible. So we do have to think, well, if a meal is going to take longer to prepare, cook and eat than maybe 45 minutes, it's probably not going to work.
No,
so
exactly.
I think we're coming from that. That's not really a rule-based thing. That's more of a, I do actually
feeding
want
ourselves around bedtimes.
Yeah.
If it's before a certain time, we can eat. If it's after a certain time, we've got to wait till after bedtime. So we've always got to factor in for the fact that we never know at the minute. We don't know what time they're going to bed. So it might be that we're eating after bedtime and I'm hangry by then.
Go downstairs and start tea now.
That has happened quite frequently.
Unquote.
I think it's, if you are finding that you are that person who have specific foods that they save for the weekend, or like takeaways that save for the weekend, like if you're craving that food in the middle of the week, do it then. Have it then. Because what you're less likely to do is go completely overboard on that thing. So like, instead of ordering like a pizza with two sides and a cookie on the side, for example, when you order your craving, when you have it, you might just get a pizza and you might feel like you can eat it really mindfully and have like half. But if you've dialed up that desire and up all week, and then you feel guilty about the fact that you're having it, your control implodes and your ability to make decisions aligned with your goal also implodes, because that hit, the guilt's hit and you've broken your rule. But if we can be more intentional around that and actually say, do you know what? I am craving this right now, therefore I'm going to push this meal that I've planned to the weekend and I'm going to actually have a takeaway. I actually had a client this week who was really struggling with the fact that she kept planning foods in and then having a takeaway, and I was like, right, if you're having the takeaway anyway, plan it in. Make it part of your week and then really think about what you're choosing to align it with your goals. And she was like, oh my goodness, I ate nowhere near as much as normal. I didn't feel guilty. And I actually really enjoyed it. And that is what we're looking for with this.
Absolutely. So very, very, I was going to say quick recap. I don't know how quick I can recap this. But basically, it's really important to improve your relationship with food, because everybody deserves to, and it will improve your life. But it will also help you to lose weight and keep it off long term. If you've got any rules, think, where does it come from? Is it helping me? What would life look without it? And have I given that rule life without that rule long enough for it to take effect?
if you're someone who feels guilty for eating certain foods, think, what am I actually gaining from not allowing myself that? And remember, it's not perceived gain, it's actual gain. Ask yourself how you would feel if you had permission to eat anything, and then start to think, how can I include this food every single day until it loses its shininess? And finally, if you have certain foods that you are only allowed to eat if you've been good, like if you've eaten what you consider to be well, or you've trained, or you've been on a hike or whatever, first of all, remind yourself you're not a pet, you're not a dog, you don't need to be use food as a reward. Start to remove words like good and bad, healthy, unhealthy, right, wrong, etc., because that'll help you stay consistent, because you won't feel the need for the reward. And finally, think, how can I include these foods every single day until it loses its shininess? So for example, bringing that weekend takeaway into the week, or having certain foods in the week when you would only usually have them, or in the day when you'd only usually have them in the evening.
Yes!
That was a quick recap, considering.
You did well then, Phil, actually. I'll give you that.
Thank you very much. Would you like me to put you on the spot?
Yeah, I've just been distracted by an alert that we've got on a house in the location in which we want to live.
Right, sorry, see you all next week. We're going back in the house. Anyway, whilst Jen looks at floor plans...
And it's actually perfect.
Whilst Jen looks at floor... do you know what it means by perfect?
It's too expensive.
It means the bathroom isn't downstairs.
No, it's too expensive.
Because Jen hates it when the bathroom's downstairs.
No one wants that.
I'm just saying, it's like a big thing though. Like, I always find, I'm like, Jen, found the perfect house. It's the right price. It's the right size. Right amount of bedrooms. Like, it's got a big garden. It's got everything we want. She's like, bathroom's downstairs. Don't like it.
I'm sorry, but...
I'm not saying that.
Who knew there were so many houses that had bathrooms downstairs, firstly?
Technically, we've got it weird, like ours. We're in the minority.
Apparently so.
Bathrooms upstairs.
It's why, yeah, but it's because it's in our price range. That's why we keep seeing all the ones with the bathrooms downstairs, because they knock a ton of money off it because the bathrooms
downstairs. Yeah, we're looking for like a big renovation project. We want a house that hasn't been touched for about 50 years is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
That's our ideal house.
But all the bathrooms apparently are downstairs in those houses. It's actually really good. It's around the corner from that other house that we got that we decided we weren't having that time.
Yes. Right. I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah. Go on then.
Where do you think the best place to have a bathroom is?
Upstairs. End of.
No. Genuine question. Would you rather...
Yes.
Eat all of your... It's actually kind of related to the episode.
Oh, is it?
Strangely enough.
Go on.
Kind of very loose connection. Would you rather eat all of your meals as if you were a dog? So in a dog bowl, on all fours, and I'm talking everywhere. So like not just at home, but like if you was at a restaurant, you'd ask them to put the meal in the dog bowl and you'd get down on all fours. And like, but it would taste like the best ever. So I'm talking like, imagine your favourite meal, but it'd be like 100 times better. So all your food tastes better than it ever has.
Because I'm eating it out of a dog bowl.
No, it just does. Part of this weird.
Are you putting it in the slow feeder for me as well?
Yes, it's in the slow feeding dog bowl. And it's on the floor. And even if you're in a restaurant or like you're away, or you could be like out for a hike,
little snack,
get a little picnic, street. You're just down on the floor.
Or a bit in a car.
Whatever a dog does to eat food, you have to eat it that way.
Okay.
That's option A.
Okay.
Option B.
Yeah.
Is you can eat as you do now. So off a plate, out of a bowl, as you do when you go to a restaurant. Like nothing's changed in theory in the way in which you eat that food.
Right.
However, there's two things on this one. Every meal you have just has a slight tint of dog food taste. No, not a lot. It's just a bit of like, what was that? Bit of aftertaste. Like you can't, it's not like the flavour. It's just like, it's just something there and you can't quite put your finger on it and it's the flavour of dog food. Also, if whilst you're eating, someone comes over to you, so like a waiter or a member of the public or just anyone just comes over, you've got to bark at them till they go away. Which option would you choose?
But like, I would love to live in your brain personally. This is what comes up with.
I don't think you would. Not going to lie.
That's actually really challenging.
Mm.
Because I find rudeness is a big trigger for my level of anger. Mm. So the fact that I would only be able to woof at people is actually quite making me feel quite uncomfortable.
Do an impression of a dog bark, just so we can get an idea of what that would be like.
Woof!
Reggie's head was straight up there. Must have been a good one, that.
So that's I feel like I can do better than that.
Do a few in a row. I'll pretend I've come over to you. One sec. Shh. Down. Postman's there, be quiet. I'm just going to do a bit of role play, right? You're in a restaurant.
Okay, go on.
You're eating your lasagna out of your dog bowl.
Yeah.
Hey, is everything all right with your meal?
Yes, lovely, thank you.
Are you joking?
Oh,
yeah, you don't have to rough in that one. Jen, is it all right? Do you want any salt for your dinner? And now you're a seal. Do you want any salt? No, do you want salt? Do you want salt on your meal? Pepper? Right, okay. I'm gone.
Oh, no, I was triggered him.
Fudge's back in now.
Dog's back in.
He's like, there's definitely a dog.
Wait, do you go back to sleep? I'm sorry, it was me. He's going to start barking now.
This episode is absolute carnage. And right, I can only apologise.
I'm going to have to choose the other one because otherwise Reggie's going to be barking all the true. Time
to
as
be
well.
Fair, he might
and he's
not
barking
be there.
Annoys me that enough as it is.
It might not be there in the restaurant though.
He's barking.
Or you
yeah,
wouldn't
but
have to do
I,
it.
Are
yeah.
in the house?
Oh, imagine that in a restaurant. A waiter comes over and you start barking at him. I'll be honest. I think I'd be filing for divorce.
Look at him.
What are you doing?
No, I'd have just because of how annoying it'd be because of Reggie just barking all the time.
So you
and me,
all your food.
Oh, I get so annoyed by him barking. Like, by the way, like, who knew that if you got a dog unexpected barking that you'd be so annoyed by barking?
It's more just if you're having like a peaceful moment with yourself and then the postman walks
past.
Or
you've been trying to get the baby to sleep for 20 minutes, you finally get the baby to sleep and then the dog starts barking and wakes the baby up for a further 30 minutes.
What a carnage.
Naughty dog. Yeah, I think it'd have to be the all fours one.
Eat your meals out of a dog bowl.
Yeah, me and Reg will eat everything together in our slow feeders.
Do you know what? Because I'm more worried about, oh no, I've got social anxiety, I couldn't handle either of them. Either you eating out of a dog bowl or you woofing till the waiter walked off. I couldn't handle either of those situations. We'd not be able to eat out. No, couldn't do it.
Oh, why is he so cute?
Don't know. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope that's helped you to improve your relationship with food. And hopefully, if you can do a better impression of a dog and you want to send Jen a voice note, crack on.
Yeah, I'm
on.
Sorry if that was really loud because I'm seeing the sound bars just there and I feel like I'm going to be like really hurting people's ears.
Well, they tuned in for Waffle and they got dog barks. Like, I feel like they're equilibrium.
Exchange is equal, yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, have a good one. And there'll probably not be as many animal noises next week, so I apologise
for
that.
I don't know. I need to get practicing them because, like, babies and stuff.
You need to get practicing animal
I
noises.
Can't do an elephant noise and I think it's really holding me back in my mothering experience.
Yeah.
Do an right. elephant noise.
I don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
I've got black nose as well, so it'd be irrelevant.
I just can't do an elephant noise.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
it'd be rubbish.
Yeah, I really need to work on it because it's...
I hope your DMs are just full of people sending you animal noises for the next week.
That would be great.
Right, thanks a lot. Send Jen.
People on my wavelength here.
Dog, elephant, monkey, whatever you got.
I'm good at monkeys. Can I do a monkey?
No, see you next week. Bye.
I was laughing.
See you later. That's terrible. Awful. Just apologise if you're walking around a zoo right now and there's loads of animals attacking you. Oh, yeah, you did the impression. That's really helped everyone. See you later.
I just listened to myself back doing monkey noises after that recording stopped, and that's terrible. I apologise to all of your ears. That's it. Bye again.